the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
For his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley
of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me
in the presence of my enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil.
My cup runneth over.
Surely goodness
and mercy shall follow me
all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord
forever.
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 And wasn't that better than me reading it? That was awesome. And by the way, make sure we're all paying attention here. Last few thoughts we had in Psalm 23 as we're working through it. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What was it? Love taps. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Table manners. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. No place to land. And we come to verse 6 now today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. By the way, I just have to comment on the choir. You guys are pretty good for the music to stop and start, and you stayed on tempo. Wow, that was incredible. You guys are A+, man. That's the way to go. That was awesome. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Man, aren't you glad that God's goodness is following you wherever you go? Boy, the goodness of God followed me even before I got saved. It was the goodness of God that kept me from going over the cliff in Baja, California, 3 months before I got saved when I was 17 years old. God knows how to watch after us. He is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, he spoke of himself and he said, I am the good shepherd, for I lay my life down for the sheep. But you know, Psalm 23 was not written in a vacuum. It was written for people who live in an evil world. And unfortunately, we live on this side of heaven where we not only have good that follows us, but evil. Have you ever been followed before in a negative sense? Several months ago, Allison went to San Antonio, and she went to help Drew get some clothes. He graduated from college, and he was going to have to start working for a living. And so all he had was a couple shirts and one pair of pants. He thought that would do. His mother said, no, it will not do. So they went to Men's Warehouse and got Drew some clothes. And, of course, you can't pick everything up right then. They have to alter them, so you have to go back later. So a couple weeks later, Allison goes back by herself to pick up Drew's clothes, and they said, well, could you give us about an hour at Men's Warehouse in San Antonio? And so Allison said, sure. So she thought she'd just go over to Best Buy and just mosey around. And as she was looking at things, she caught something in her peripheral vision, and, you know, you have that feeling sometimes. And she turned around and she locked eyes with this man that was staring right at her. Well, she thought, okay, no big deal. And so she just kept doing her thing. And then she finally left Best Buy and she went over to Men's Warehouse. She got the clothes and she walked out. And then as she was walking to the car, she looked to the left and there she was, the same man about 20 yards away from her, and they locked eyes again. She thought, well, that's strange. You know, he So I'm over there, and now he must be shopping over somewhere where I'm at. So then Allison went over to Dillard's, so she had to go across the 410 to go over there to Dillard's. And you know how if you go to Dillard's, sometimes you go underneath the parking lot and you have those glass windows there under the parking lot. So she parked, she went into the store, and she was looking around at some things. And then once more, she felt that evil feeling, and she looked to her right, and she locked eyes with the same man who was looking at her. And she thought, no, there's something not right here. So she went over and she spoke to one of the people that worked at Dillard's, and she said, would you mind walking me to the car? I think there may be a man following me. And he said, oh, sure, ma'am, I'll do that. So the young man walked Allison to the car, and when they got there, Allison said, well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you doing that for me. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm going to wait until you drive away, because this man, for him to be here, he had to get in his car and he had to follow you in his car in order to get from the man's warehouse to Dillard's. So I'm going to wait till you leave so that he can't get in his car and follow you once again. And so Allison said, thank you. And she got into her car and she drove around to drive right in front of those windows. So the windows would be on the left of her as she was in the driver's seat. And she glanced just before she went by the door. She glanced, and there was the same man with his hands on the window of the glass door. And he was screaming at her as she drove by. Now, that's not really what we want to be followed by, is it? But that represents the evil presence of this world. But there's a scripture in the Bible, and it says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And King David, 3,000 years ago, wrote these words, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want us to think about those words and what they mean. Now, I was really curious about Philip Keller and how he was going to relate this text with sheep. Remember, we're using Philip, who was a real live shepherd. And so, here's what he said. He said that sheep have, they leave a deposit. But they, the deposit that sheep leave is the best deposit that you could possibly leave. How does that sound? That doesn't really come out real well, but out of all the domestic animals in the whole world, the best balanced deposit that can be left is left by sheep. Did you know that? No, you didn't know that. I didn't know that. But you know, it depends, though. The deposit they're going to leave behind them, it depends on how the shepherd takes care of them. The shepherd has to be a good shepherd. He has to be good to his sheep. He has to feed them. He has to get them. Remember all this stuff we've been talking about, changing pastures and moving up through the mountain valleys and to get up there in the wintertime, up there in the tablelands, the mesas, to get up there on the mountaintop. Oh, this is a shepherd in Psalm 23 that loves his sheep. He's providing for them. He's protecting them from all the wild animals. He's making sure they got all the clean water they can drink and all the good green grass. And as the shepherd is good to the sheep, they leave behind something that's good as well. In fact, Philip said that next to him there were two ranches that the shepherds didn't care anything about their sheep. And the property was just desolate. But two more shepherds came and bought those, two new ones came and bought those properties, and they were good shepherds, And so they began to be good to their sheep, the sheep that they had, these new foals. And guess what? He said, sheep, if they're taken care of because of their deposit, they can turn a desolate land into a rich pasture. Isn't that interesting? So we have two things going on here. We have the goodness of the shepherd to the sheep, and the goodness that the sheep receive can then pass on that goodness to others. Now, when we think about the goodness of God, we need to define it. What does that mean? What does the goodness of God mean? How do you know when you see it? How do you know when you feel it? When it touches you? Now, that's a good question. And I have to admit to you, I am still in discovery mode about the goodness of God. But I have learned a few things that I can share with you today. Now, when we think about the goodness of God, we normally think about blessings. We normally think about favor. You remember in Numbers chapter 6, the priestly blessing of Aaron. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. You know, that kind of thing, right? And we think about the goodness of God. I mean, has God been good to you? He was good to me that He didn't let me go over that cliff. So that because I was a sinner, I was lost. I needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and He kept me alive to get me to that moment where I could ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. Oh, and since then, God's been so good to me. He's been good to you. Oh, I've got a beautiful wife, a 10. Right? Oh, and she can cook. A 10. And what a great mother. And oh, it just goes on and on and on. We could just do a whole sermon about the goodness of my wife, Allison. But you could say the same thing about your husband, how God's been good to you, your children, your grandchildren. So many wonderful things. Just being able to work as a man and to support your family. Oh, is that not the goodness of God? Was I'm walking Hudson, you know, in the mornings, the sun's out, I can hear the birds, Hudson can hear the birds and the squirrels, and yeah, every morning, thank you, God, there's sunshine and sometimes rain, and then it's just awesome to be alive. God is so good. And we think about that as the goodness of God. But God wants you to know Him in many different ways. Not just in the circumstance or events or feelings that are palatable. You remember we shared that verse in Philippians 3:10. I want to know Him. Paul said, and all the good stuff, all the exciting stuff, the power of His resurrection. Remember all the apostles? Oh, and the ladies, they all saw Jesus in His resurrected form. Oh, what a day. Even the apostle Paul saw Him in His resurrected status. Oh, what a day. He said, but I want to know Him not only in all the good and exciting stuff. I want to know another dimension of our Lord. The fellowship of His sufferings. Now, look at Psalm 119 and verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I'm going to say something, and this is what I want you to register this morning. You listening? The goodness of God does not always feel good. Did you know that in Psalm 119 and verse 71, the Hebrew word for good means favor? Did you know that when God directs your life or allows your life to be afflicted, He is being good to you? Did you know that when God directs your life or allows your life to be afflicted, He has, as Numbers 6 says, favored you? Have you thought about the goodness of God like that? Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Don't despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. What does that mean? What does long-suffering mean? To suffer long. Not knowing. You see, the goodness of God has a purpose. That the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That's why David wrote in Psalm 119, "It is good for me to be afflicted because it is drawing me closer to the Lord." But it's more than that. You see, when Paul wrote Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he wanted to know the Lord in another dimension. And the reason that he wanted to know the Lord in another dimension, in another way, is another way to say that, is because sanctification, growing as a Christian, maturing in your Christian life, is about becoming more like Jesus. Well, what did Jesus do when he was here on the earth? What was his experience like? Here's what happened. Towards the end of his life in particular, there were other times in the wilderness, for example, when he went without food for 40 days in the hot, hot desert. Without any friendship, without any other people, all by himself, in solitary confinement. But towards the end of his life, he suffered greatly, didn't he? And that suffering was of nothing that he did wrong. It was imposed upon him by God the Father. Paul said, "I want to be like him. And since I want to be like him, I want to have a little taste of his life so that I can identify with him." And when you identify with the Lord, when you taste a little bit of what the Lord tasted on the earth, you are going to draw closer to Him. You are going to know Him in a way you have not known Him before. That's why Job said, "Before all this trouble in my life, oh, I knew the Lord. I knew the power of His resurrection. But after all the trouble," he said, "that's when I knew Him face to face." That little song we sang, "Blessed be the name," it comes from the first chapter of Job. How's it go? "Blessed be the name." How's it go? Huh? "Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful." There's the good stuff. "Where your streams of abundance flow." There's the good stuff. "Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name." Uh-oh. "When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk," uh-oh, "through the wilderness, what will I do? Complain? Blessed be your name." Keep going. "Every blessing you pour out, I'll back to praise. When the darkness closes in, What will I say? Still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You see, the Lord, He what? You give and take away. You give. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You get it. You getting it. And that's what we're talking about. Let me write this down. This is a subtitle, okay? Maturity leads to legacy. What happens when the shepherd is good to the sheep? The sheep leave goodness behind. They leave a legacy. They can turn desolate property into fertile soil. That is a beautiful picture. I want to tell you about a couple by the name of Mark and Gloria Zook, Z-O-O-K. They entered the world of the Mook people in Papua New Guinea in 1983. Mook, M-O-U-K. The Mook people were an unreached people group. They had no Bible in their language, never heard of the Bible, never heard of God, never heard of Jesus. Nobody had ever read a scripture to them. Nobody even knew their language. So they stayed there for quite some time just to learn their language first so they could talk to them about what they were going to have for breakfast and, you know, about their families and about life and sunshine and all that kind of stuff so they could eventually get to the gospel. So finally, when they learn the language, they go, okay, how are we going to tell these people who have never been exposed to the Bible and the God of the Bible? So what they started doing was chronicling the stories beginning in Genesis and telling them all the way through the Old Testament the stories of the Bible. Well, so all the Mook people were listening, and boy, they were intent as they moved on. In fact, it says, they wrote, they spent every waking moment discussing the message and listening over and over again to the lessons that had been recorded on cassette tape. As they listened to the trials leading up to the crucifixions, the Mooks felt that somehow Jesus would escape. Surely he'll get out of this trouble. Fear and reverence for God fell over them as they heard about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Yes, he escaped, but after the crucifixion. So Mark and Gloria shared from the story. They went back to Abraham and Isaac after they talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And just as the real lamb was substituted for Isaac, they said Jesus' death and blood was shed for the Mook people. He died in your place, they said. Oh, at that very moment, all the people stood up and shouted, Itao! Itao! I believe, and they started dancing around for hours and even days saying, it's true, I believe, saying, you know, the plural into the singular, I believe, and almost the entire tribe got saved. Now, do you know what Mark and Gloria did? God had been good to them as sheep. And you know what they did in response to the goodness of God? They turned desolate land into fertile, rich soil. Now, we can't all go to Papua New Guinea. God has soil right here for us. You see, God is being good to you, and sometimes that goodness feels good, and sometimes it doesn't feel so good, but it's all about getting us closer to Him and becoming more like the Lord so that we can turn around and be good to others, but it will take maturity on your part. For when the dark clouds are closing in, what will you say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Or will you say, well, how could God let this, how could He let me suffer? How could He let my wife suffer? How could we have this loss? How could we have this trouble? I'll tell you why. Because He loves you and He wants you to know Him in a way you haven't known before so that you can turn around and have a legacy in your life. Be a blessing. Be good to someone else. In Acts chapter 10, I think it's verse 38, the Bible says Jesus went all around doing good. What do people say about you? Does somebody have to cover your tracks? Have you ever had someone say, now I know you're going to talk to so-and-so, but be careful because you can't trust them. They'll say one thing to your face, but then they'll turn around and say something to someone else that's totally different. You don't want to be like that, do you? You want to be a woman of your word. You want to be a man of your word. You want to pay your bills on time. And sometimes things happen, but to the best of your ability. You want to have integrity. You want to accept. You want to prepare your life for the goodness of God. I don't know how I'm going to die. I could drop dead today. I could live another 20 or 30 years. The Lord could come back today. And I wouldn't, in that case, I wouldn't die. But barring the rapture, I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know what God is, what kind of goodness He's going to allow in my life. I know this though, that whatever God does to me or allows in my life is good for me. Do you believe that? Romans 8:28 says that, doesn't it? I don't want to be like the Israelites in the wilderness who complained about the way God treated. Because people are watching me and people are watching your life. What are you leaving behind? We need maturity. We need to grow up in our faith so that we can lead a legacy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. We don't want to be like that man, that servant in Matthew chapter 18 who's forgiven by the king for millions of dollars and then he finds his own servant who owes him 50 cents and he grabs him by the collar. He pulls him up and he says, pay me what you owe me. No. We want to be merciful. We want to be forgiving to those around us no matter what they do. Because God has done the same thing for us. We want God to forgive us for all of our sins. Therefore, we should do the same to others. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan. And so who is it that is your neighbor, Jesus says, to the teacher of the law? He couldn't say Samaritan, so he said, well, I guess it was the one that showed mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. As God has followed us with mercy, may mercy follow us with others. This is the legacy that God wants us to have. But it'll take maturity. It'll take us understanding how God operates. The goodness of God. The favor of God. Sometimes it's in all the good stuff. The fun stuff. The exciting stuff. The entertainment. sometimes it's in the affliction. It's in the trouble. Like table manners. Will you only allow the stuff that tastes good from the Lord? Or even the what? Broccoli. The goodness of God. One thing's for sure. It's a sure thing. Let's pray. Is there something that the Lord wants to touch upon in your life? Some residue that you need to leave behind? Some goodness? Some act of mercy? Or forgiveness? Or act of benevolence? Some act of friendship? As you're praying about all of that, maybe there's someone here today and you've never met the Lord before in the first time in your life. You've never asked Him to come into your life. You can do that today. In fact, you can meet Him right now. Pray this prayer with me. If you want to know the Lord and know that your sins are forgiven and have eternal life, pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are God and You died on the cross for me. Thank You. Forgive me for my sins. I am so sorry. But I believe that You rose from the grave and that You're alive today. And so right now, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Save me. Be my Lord. Give me the gift of eternal life. And make me the kind of person You want me to be. If you prayed that prayer just now, welcome to the family of God. The goodness and mercy of God will follow you all the days of your life.